Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, in the first half, got some hot vaccination talk as it pertains to younger people. Also, talk about some homeless at the airport and Oingo Boingo Danny Elfman talk coming up as well. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Recent survey, 330 million people became victims of cybercrime. Another 55 million had their identity stolen. They spent almost 2.7 billion hours trying to resolve their issues. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. You have access to a dedicated restoration specialist if you become a victim. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours, yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
This is Walk-In's Welcome with Bridget Fettesy.
I love hearing people's stories of resilience and grit. This is why I created this podcast.
We are very excited to welcome Jim Gaffigan,
Yasmin Mohammed,
Glenn Beck,
Tim Dillon,
Abigail Schreier,
Jeff Garland,
Ayan Hirsi Ali,
Sam Harris,
Heather Hying,
Jonah Goldberg,
Ben Shapiro,
Glenn Greenwald,
Sarah Shahi,
Colin Quinn.
If there's a culture of victimhood, then let's tell stories of grit and survival.
Subscribe and listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dan Dunn. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a round of totally topical TiVo trivia time today. And now, a man who's had never had any of, never mind all the feels, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on the church, but get a minute to get it on. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan.
That's me.
Wait, Dawson, you want to read that intro again?
Yes.
I didn't understand it. Go ahead.
I think there was a couple things.
It made sense.
Yeah.
And now, a man who's never had any of, never mind all the feels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So two things. I think, Dawson, reading that one cold is tough. And do you know when girls are like, oh, that gives me all the feels?
No, I don't
okay,
know
so there's
feelings.
No reason you would have gotten
sort
that.
Of meme-ish, yeah. You know what I mean? Like if someone posts a cute kitten, someone mm-hmm. replies like, OMG, all the feels.
We're getting dumber.
It just means like, my God, my ovaries are exploding. Yeah.
You know, speaking it strikes me that I've always said it's always kind of best to be somewhere neutral, kind of in the middle. Always described life as the center fielder before the ball was hit. Not sure which way to go, but you get in a kind of poised position where you can go any direction. Mm-hmm. We're in extreme highs and lows. So we have the bad feelings that come from whatever it is we see on the internet or whatever other way we get our information. And that sinks us down. Sure. And then we need the high feelings. But in a way, we're all kind of just turning into Elvis. So we need the pills at night to knock us down.
Yep.
And then because we took the pills at night to knock us down, we need some uppers in the morning to get us up for the show.
We need the propofol to go to sleep.
Right.
Speaking of which, Michael Jackson died, as you hear this, however many years ago today. 12 years ago today.
Oh, really?
I know, because it was 2 days before my wedding.
Jesus
which
Christ.
Which you were at.
It was 2 days before your wedding.
We were doing a wine tasting with our friends, a little pre-wedding, you know, extravaganza.
The nerve of him to die 2 days before your wedding.
We all saw it on our phone at the same time. It was a weird. It's one of those you'll always remember where. I'll always remember where I was.
We were tasting
wine. And nobody gives a shit about Farrah Fawcett.
I know.
5 hours earlier.
So the moral of the story is with the feels, stop feeling bad, stop feeling good.
Just hang around
the middle a little bit. It's a better place to live.
I have some suggestions if you want some internet propofol. I follow maybe 17, that could be modest, different kitten rescues. And if you just want to see, like, kittens get bottle fed, you know, there's Foster Fur Babies, Tobin Palace, Kitten Faces. I mean, there's...
But that'll put you in a better mood, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I look at before I go to sleep.
But
kittens getting bottle fed.
When you make the announcement to the heavens that you need to be put in a better mood, it suggests you're in a bad mood.
It just helps me go to sleep looking at bottle babies.
Yeah, I know. Good stuff is good, but I'm still kind of weighing it against...
To even yourself out.
Well, also, if it's just too much good stuff, then that becomes your resting state. Yes, that's your normal. That's your normal place.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I would caution against finding things that brought you down, but I would also sort of caution against the finding things that made you feel good, which no one ever really takes a firm stance on, as I do. Right. But I don't know, be somewhere in the oblivious, the ignorance is bliss kind of middle part of life.
Jim Carolla the shit out of that line.
Right.
That's right. All right. So let's see. Sort of speaking of that, we have some hot Dawson zucchini talk. But speaking
Holy
of
shit.
That, all right, we'll get into the zook in a second. Listen, I've never been more vindicated or validated by a statement I said.
That's what I said. I said, said this.
Let a zook go and it will keep going.
It looks like a caveman's club.
Are you guys fucking with me?
No.
Well, first off, zucchinis aren't like pets. You know what I mean? Like, you can get a pet when a pet's go 8 on. Months old and you can walk away. But the pet's only going to get as large as that breed gets.
Right.
And so if you got a medium-sized schnauzer, then you got a 54-pound dog.
You know what you're in for.
But you can't. It's not like you're going to leave town and you're going to come back and the dog's going to be 321 pounds.
Right.
So the zucchini.
Squash, on the other hand.
Listen, I love a garden. I think that's the home ownership thing is piss on the lawn once a month. And
to fertilize your garden
and grow a garden.
Yeah,
those are the things. You own a home. You can do these things. So Dawson's been pretty dutiful about both those things, I'm guessing.
But that puts any of our appendages to shame.
Yes, he grew a garden. Tomatoes, zucchinis,
green onions, blueberries, cherry tomatoes.
God damn.
Radishes, cabbage, and basil, and strawberries.
You left it for 5 days?
I hadn't been out there in 5 days. I did not see that one when I had last harvested, and I came back out to it yesterday, and I looked right smack dab in the middle of the plant, and this thing was just... Because it felt like it came out of nowhere.
It's like 10 pounds. I mean, what do you think that really weighs?
Yeah, it's 10 pounds plus. This zook is 19 inches long. And it's thick. It's a good 5 inches thick, and it weighs a good 14 pounds is what it feels like to me. And it's not
like a shofar.
It's not eatable or edible, but I wish I had an M80.
Seriously.
Actually, it'd be great to blow that thing up.
Dawson would beg to differ.
Oh.
It's edible.
Well, I'm not. Here's what I'm thinking about doing with it, just because it's that big. I'm going to cut it in half, hollow it out. And then make some quick
sauce.
Use
it as a canoe.
No, it'll be a nice... I've done stuffed zucchini with those before.
For 14 people.
And that one's just so freaking huge. I'm just going to try it, make the whole thing.
I think
zucchini,
I would...
Hollow it out.
I think I would cut it into quarter inch or 3/16 inch thick wheels and like bread it and fry it.
Oh, zucchini rings.
Good.
Look
that,
at you.
That might be a use for it. I think I did that when I had oversized zooks back in the day when I used to grow those things. But yes.
For keto, that's zoodles for months.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep going and it's massive. And I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what the proper cutoff for a zucchini is. You know, how many ounces, how many inches?
It's
about 6-7 inches.
I don't know, but you are 100% right that the bigger they get, the worse they taste.
Oh.
It's impressive. It's like a club. It's a caveman club.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that validation, Dawson.
Absolutely.
Speaking of living...
I want fucking cabbage.
Well, you know what to do, Dawson.
Living in the middle, I was driving in today. I was behind a car, and the car had a bumper sticker. It was made looked like it was one of those kinds you have made up. It wasn't not okay. something you'd buy at Knott's Berry Farm. First bumper sticker said, "Shitty to everyone, late to everything."
Oh, great. There's your intro for the show.
And then the other one said, "Assholes live forever." Oh. And then above it,
same guy.
It had a bumper sticker that said, "Kids on board."
Wow. Diverse.
You want this guy breeding.
Range.
Yeah. So I don't know who these guys are. I don't know how they work. I don't know if they care about employment. It's just kind of a weird thing to kind of push that out there to the universe, like everyone who's behind you. And you get a lot of eyeballs on the 405, especially if you're doing a daily commute. But we know.
Car-wise, can you profile, like, was this a small business owner or somebody on disability?
Nega, I assume.
Brian!
He, no.
You said late to everything?
He seemed to be, it's a modest car in decent condition, newish, nothing exciting. And no, he was not a piano tuner or pool man. It was okay. just that I could tell from the outside of the car. So,
wow.
Bold.
Yeah. I just thought I'd share that piece of good information with you. Brian is getting ready to head out of town to celebrate himself, or at least half himself.
That's true.
Where are you going?
We're going to flying out of Burbank to Oakland and then making the drive to Napa back to the scene of the crime. It's 12 years of marriage for me and Christy.
Mm.
Going to Yountville.
Yeah, is it Yount or Yount? I've heard both.
What does your grandma think?
whatever we say will be wrong.
I know a San Franciscan that just calls it Yountville. That's what I started calling it.
That's 100% wrong.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, you were at the wedding. It was very hot. It'll be hot this weekend, 97 degrees.
I don't remember the wedding.
It was really nice.
Oh, you right.
Really,
I wasn't invited.
You would have loved it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hot. I can't figure out the regions. It was hotter than shit in Denver last weekend. It can get hot around the Bay Area too.
It was unseasonably
on occasion.
Hot, right? Because the summer is usually like a steady 80. They grow grapes, for God's sake. It's a steady 85 degrees, heat spike, and everyone was sweating.
Apropos of nothing, I was told you guys I was at the Shelby Museum last weekend when we were
Golden, in right?
Boulder.
Oh, Boulder.
I was in Golden, but the museum's in Boulder. There's probably 35 cars in that place, but all exquisitely significant, like all crazy significant cars. You know, GT40s that Ken Miles ran at Le Mans, the car that beat his at Le Mans, or came in third at Le Mans, Daytonas, Cobras that have crazy history. You know, the difference between a Shelby Cobra that's just a Shelby Cobra is that's $1 million. Mm-hmm. But if it was Carroll Shelby's Cobra, then that's $14.5 million.
Has some historical significance.
If it won the whatever race and the championship of this, then it just keeps going up. It's like the exact same car just keeps going up and into the millions. So there's
a Babe Ruth home run ball is so expensive, but if it's 500 or 600 or whatever.
Why is this in Boulder?
I don't know. That's where it is. Somehow that's where they landed. But I said for fun, I told Sonny, go walk around and go find me the most expensive car in this place. Now, it's disputable because they have stuff that is wildly significant, but one's a GT40 and the other's a Cobra and the other's a Daytona Shelby. But there's cars that should be well over $20 million. So I said, you just walk around and you go find something.
What he thinks is.
What you think is. It's always a funny experiment if you take lay people and you put them in with super expensive cars.
You find the brightest, reddest one.
And he walked around and he perused all the cars. And I thought, well, he's going to come up with a GT40, which is, I don't know, $10 million minimum. Or maybe a Cobra or maybe the Daytona. He pointed at an AC Bristol. The AC Bristol is only there because we're looking at an AC Bristol. I don't think it was this one, but either way, it doesn't matter. It's an AC Bristol. Now, why is an AC Bristol there? It's an English car with a straight six in it.
Looks badass.
It's cute.
It's cool looking. It
kind of looks like an MG or Sprite or Triumph or something like that. He pointed at that car. I said, that car is here because all the significant Cobras started off as an AC Bristol.
Oh, no shit.
Because what, if you remember the doc, what Shelby Cobra, or sorry, what Carroll Shelby did, Carroll Shelby went over to Ford and he was like, I hear you guys got a new V8 engine that sounds promising. And they're like, yeah. And then he went over to AC Bristol in England. And he said, you guys make a car chassis, but you lost your engine manufacturer. They don't make the engine. They just made the rest of the car. And so he convinces Ford, you give me six of these V8 engines. And then he goes over to AC Bristol and he goes, you give me six of these chassis. And somehow he convinces them both just to give them six and six. And then they ship them both back to Venice Beach, California, with his little shop. And he figures out a way to shoehorn the big V8 engine into the little AC Bristol, and thus the AC Cobra is born, and then just goes forward to dominate all the racing competition. It's kind of an interesting story in that Shelby didn't make the car or the engine. He just kind of honchoed the whole thing. Like, he was this guy sitting back, wasn't working on the engines or the cars. Now, once he got the cars, the chassis back, he had to do a lot of modifications to them to make them work properly with the big heavy engine in front. But he was the guy going, we should put that with that. We're going to make a peanut butter cup. You know, he didn't invent peanut butter or chocolate, and he didn't manufacture peanut butter or chocolate. He just thought, put it together. Now he becomes the guy who built this car. But in a way, the car already existed and the engine already existed.
But alone, they are what?
Alone, they were McCartney and Lennon not passing each other in a hall in the high school.
So how much was it?
Well, he pointed at the Bristol. Now, Bristols aren't worth anything per se as Bristols. Right. They have like some AC Bristols have like some significance because they were the car that began whatever. Yeah. But they're $200,000 or something.
Was
like that.
One of the six?
Because the six all got swapped out. This had the old AC Bristol engine in it. So it was really just there to say, this is how it started.
Okay.
So he picked the least valuable car
in the entire
place and went and pointed at it. And then, but he thinks he's going to make his living as a professional gambler. So I don't think this is going to work.
If this was the end of the Indiana Jones number three, he would have turned to dust.
Yeah.
Right. His face would have melted off. Picked the wrong grail.
Yeah. I don't know. He did make money on the. Oh, yeah. To be fair to Sonny, made a bunch of money on the basketball game.
A bunch.
Well, to him,
yeah,
it made like $385 or something. Yeah. Put 20 on, what is it? Not the Clippers. Who did he put the 20? The Hawks? Who did he put on?
I think maybe put on the Bucks.
Oh, he put it on the Bucks. He put 20 on the Bucks when the Bucks were down 1-0. To win in seven.
That's not. They picked the exact number of games.
Yeah. Well, if you want to make $300 or $400 on your 20,
you
got to do better in the over under. So we were in the green room of the club, and at some point the Bucks were down. Weren't they down that game, Max Zapata, by a ton?
Yeah. Yeah, they both games, the Clippers game too. But I think it was the Bucks game. Yeah, and we were just watching. We thought it was over, and.
It went into OT.
Yeah, that's right. Kevin Durant made that turnaround jumper and tied the game.
That's right.
Yeah,
deadly shot.
He was going crazy. And anyway, he made all his Vegas money. So
hey, did he make enough to buy the button down shirt you asked him to wear to the club but didn't?
He was still wearing his hoodie and he had shorts. Some weird khaki pants or something. It was a mess. He may beat me on a technicality, but it wasn't.
He looked very cute, but it's not what you asked him to wear.
No, wasn't anything.
It was Colorado casual.
Yes.
That's true.
All right, let's see. Oh, he got some tips from the merch table, too, which I...
Oh, tips?
Yeah, they're tipping him. I've never seen anything like that.
I said, hey, buddy, the money's got to go into the pot.
That's right.
That's
right.
Not your money. We do what they do with the busboys and the waitresses.
We pool our tips.
Yeah.
We pool. All right. Well, speaking of that, we need a ball puller in Alaska, so you can email us. Questions at adamcarolla.com.
Yeah, that's right.
Where you can go. All right. So now, speaking of having a 15-year-old, the question of vaccinations comes up. Do you take your healthy 15-year-old and get them vaccinated? Now, there seems to be something that's going on a little more with boys than girls.
What do you mean?
In terms of the vaccinations, that seems to be affecting the young boys more than it's affecting young girls, and in that it's affecting them. And it's funny because I always said, I've asked Drew, kind of feels like the males are getting it a little bit worse than the females. I brought it up on the show in terms of COVID, just anecdotally hearing about people. Seems like
I was going to say
Drew got it bad. His wife never caught it. I've heard some other stories like that where the guy got it worse than the gal. And statistically, it leans that way a little bit. It's not just 50-50 straight across the board. I don't know why it would ever be that way with anything. You know, we're different biologically. But it seems to hit women. Sorry, it seems to hit guys a little harder. And then when it comes to the vaccine for the young people, in terms of negative outcomes, it seems to be guys that it's hitting.
Just side effects?
Some deaths, some side effects, some problems, but it just seems to be the 15-year-old dudes that seem to be. I mean, you can look it up.
I'm just scanning this New York Times article, but it does say the cases were more common in males than females about a potential heart problems in young people from the vaccine.
Right. So now it's WHO is saying maybe. Don't get vaccinated if you're under 18 or you're healthy.
But then Walensky's kid will never get to go to camp.
It's true.
I know. Well, this furthers my conspiracy theory, which she has a young teenage male son. She's privy to information before we're privy to information, and she seemingly never got him vaccinated. Right. So did she know something 6 weeks ago that we're kind of finding out today?
It's certainly possible, yeah.
I'd say she should. It's part of her job.
Oh, no. It's definite that she had the information.
And we still can't figure out whether the kid got vaccinated. But was that WHO article somewhere?
Yeah.
Like yesterday?
Yeah. So it's their newest guidelines that they released for June. Children and adolescents tend to have milder disease compared to adults, so unless they are part of a group at higher risk of severe COVID-19, it is less urgent to vaccinate them than older people, those with chronic health conditions and health workers. More evidence is needed on the use of different COVID-19 vaccines in children to be able to make general recommendations on vaccinating children against COVID-19. They said that Pfizer is suitable for use by people aged 12 years and above. But it's important for children to continue to have the recommended childhood vaccines. But children aged between 12 and 15 who are at high risk may be offered the vaccine. And vaccine trials for children are ongoing. And WHO will update its recommendations when the evidence or epidemiological situation warrants a change in policy. So they're just so they're saying it's not urgent.
So. Well, are they saying hold off, or are they saying do what you
want?
What's
for
the
Pfizer?
What's the title of it say?
Oh, this is just the guidelines. I mean, it depends what article you're looking at, but it's really just either there. It's not urgent or hold off.
All right, so there you go. If you're young and you're healthy, and maybe a male, should hold off.
Well, that's interesting because I know you said she's been over it for a while, but Natalia then would be a good candidate for it because she was very nervous about it. It would give her peace of mind, and she's a girl who's not going to have side effects, presumably.
Yeah, or could.
Don't know, though. It's not approved by the FDA. It's just emergency use.
Yeah, but we all got it, and it wasn't approved. Like, it all got pushed through from emergency
use. Dawson's saying, putting something 20 years when that thing from Alien comes out of you.
Putting something into children that, when the disease itself is not really going to harm them, and we don't know what a vaccine is going to do to them, because it hasn't really been studied.
Here's sort of what was talked about. It was kids aren't really harmed by it, but they can bring it home to Nana.
Sure, of course.
Although that turned out to be somewhat bullshit, too. Like, they didn't carry it very well. They didn't spread it very well. But if Nana's vaccinated now and the kid's not in danger, then I would hold off and see what some of these studies come out with.
Don't shoot up the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys know that I'm pretty bullish on the vaccine. I was very eager to get it, given my situation. I don't know that I would give it to his teenage son if I had them. You know what I mean?
I've talked to a few doctors.
In as much as their body is still developing, and like the same reason I wouldn't give them hormone therapy if they wanted to transition. I'd be like, wait till everything's settled. And if that's what you
and
decide.
And it's way harder to change.
Well, maybe that's the argument.
Maybe
yeah.
That's the case.
No, most doctors I've talked to are sort of like, if I had a son and he was a teenager and he's healthy, I don't think I would do it. Mm. That seems to be. But you're just weighing risk versus... Right. The possible outcome of right. getting COVID, and if it the possible outcome, again, same decision I made many, many years ago in a hotel room at 4 a.m. when the fire alarm was going off right. and Dr. Drew and everyone else was shuffling hurting. Out to the lawn in their bathrobes. I just looked at it and I went, this hotel could be on fire, I thought to myself. But I also thought, I don't know. I saw a lot of jackasses running around the lobby because it was prom week.
Yeah. Do the math.
But one of those fucksticks pulled the fire alarm. Mm-hmm. Then I looked back out again and went, well, everyone else is cleared out. So maybe the hotel is on fire. But then I thought...
He was consumed by fire by the time he finished this.
I was on the second floor, maybe the first floor, but with the high mezzanine mm-hmm. or something. I remember going out in the balcony and looking at Drew out there in his bathrobe and everyone standing out there. And I thought, what's that drop? Mm. It's about 18, 20 feet. And I went, it's not going to kill me, but I am going to break my ankles if I have to jump out of this fiery building. But there looks like there's a shrub there.
Yeah.
I think I could do it.
Yeah.
So then I just waited. And I thought to myself, well, it's not really death. Versus standing out front of the lawn like an asshole in my towel, it's breaking my ankles.
Yeah,
and right. I sort of think about that with COVID. It doesn't really kill the kids. They could get it. They could be down for some period of time. But if you've kind of removed... Now, if I was on the 10th floor, I would have gone down there because now that's death versus right. wasting a half hour and standing out on the lawn. But once you remove death from it, then I thought, I'm staying in.
When you put it like that, it's pretty much the same thing.
It's kind of is for a healthy teenage boy.
Oh, sorry, Jim mentioned do the math. As a mathematical matter, if, let's just say, 90% of the population, the adult population, was vaccinated, it would be virtually impossible for kids to even contract
That's
it.
True.
That would be true herd immunity.
That's herd, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe...
So we can eliminate this decision altogether.
Maybe we're there, because I was at a crowded restaurant last night. Like, nobody was wearing masks. I've been traveling, like... With the numbers are through the floorboards now. It's maybe we're at herd. I don't think we're going to admit it, but I everything's wide open. Like, aren't we going to, if we open, well, Texas has been open for a long time. Florida's been open, but let's just take where we live, Los Angeles. Los Angeles has now been open for a week or whatever it is. And I was at a restaurant last night that was full up and nobody was wearing a mask. Nobody was wearing a mask at the club in Denver, outside of Denver, Golden, and blah, blah, blah. If we're not there yet, won't we know about now? Like, shouldn't we be knowing now? Disneyland's open right. and a lot of these other places are open and people are traveling like crazy. The airports are packed. Like, we're going to know about now if we're not at herd, or maybe we're not at herd and the thing has just subsided. But if
we're not, it's virtual. I mean, we're significantly better than we were right in like November, December. That was the worst. But California had 1,200 new cases 2 days ago. Granted, that's a fraction of what they're having at their peak. So you can make the argument like, oh, we're 92% better. Or you can
and vastly more treatable.
Yeah, of course. So, and then the hospitals, you know, are crowded. So you can treat whatever cases there are. Only 20 deaths. That's virtually nothing.
And also, herd is also floats defined around as, between high 60s right. and low 90s yeah. and stuff like that. But I'm saying it's basically on... again, just go down to LAX and see.
I'll let you know.
Are you going? Oh, you're going out of Burbank.
Burbank flying into LAX.
Okay. Well, that is a flying out. Sorry. Landing in LAX is going to be a lot better than getting out of LAX.
Thank God.
Thank God for me, who's driving them.
Yeah, thank you.
To Burbank.
Yeah.
Speaking of LAX, we got Richard 40 from Huntington Beach. Richard.
Uh-oh. Hey, guys.
Hi, Guy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So, speaking of traveling in LAX, so back in February, my girlfriend and I, we went to Mexico. When we flew back into LAX, got our bags, walked outside, and I saw three different homeless people in three different spots as we were trying to catch a ride out of there, walking around, which I'd never seen before. And I was, you know, telling my girlfriend, I said, if you and I just fucking wandered in to LAX, we would get, you know, cuffed and arrested immediately, or at least detained and questioned as to why we're there. These homeless dudes are just walking around outside with impunity. I mean, dragging a blanket like Linus, fucking acting all crazy.
Linus.
Cops are just walking right by him. Don't even say a word. Just pay attention. Don't even look at him.
I always felt it's kind of weird. The homeless, I never thought about it. And I had the same thoughts years ago about TMZ. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just at the airport walking backwards with a camera, right, tripping over people's luggage. That's and right. Banging into people. Like, I thought the general rule of thumb with the airport was there's people that work at the airport, security and baggage right. people
work
and
for the
gate
airport.
People who are there to do job. And then there's travelers.
Yeah.
Everyone else is not welcome.
Right.
Correct.
No hanging away. Out.
Yes. Mm. And we do that now. I mean, like post 9/11, you're like, my mom would, you know, when I was a kid, she walks you up, she sits with you, she brings you onto the plane, and then she leaves. Those days are over.
Can't do it.
But I've realized, I just had this thought, you know, there's certain cultures that just sort of live amongst animals, like there's monkey populations, mm-hmm. and there's kind of like, they're around, don't leave your plate out, but they don't really bother you, but you can throw them a crouton mm-hmm. or something. Once in a while, one will freak out and fuck your ear, but just kind of... They're there.
Yeah.
Just kind of walk amongst them. But again, do not leave your backpack out with the jerky in it. They will grab that shit they'll find it and they'll tear it. And sort of realize that we're kind of drifting into this zone where we're looking at homeless people, not really as like fellow citizens or neighbors or anything. But just as a sort of nuisance pest that is mostly docile, but just kind of part of the landscape. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of, again, there's an Australian version and an African version and whatever. Sometimes there's birds. You know, or just like, go down to the beach. There's like seagulls. You know what I mean? Right. And it's sort of like, don't leave your charcuterie platter out on the
cheetos.
Blanket. Kind of watch them. But they're around. Right. But don't bother them. Yeah. They won't really bother you. But... You think of them as animals because they are. You're sort of like, I don't really care if the seagull gets a Cheeto or not. I just don't want him to take my Cheeto. Mm-hmm. And as long as he doesn't shit on my windshield, I guess we're cool. But
talk about seagulls?
Yes. Well, and homeless. But what I'm saying is I've tuned them out and put them into a different category. And it strikes me that like LAX security... Mm-hmm. If you got your Samsonite on wheels and you're walking into the wrong spot or something, you will be, sir, I need They'll you to do for me right quick. Now. But we're sort of looking at them as the monkey peacock population that's just sort of around, you know, just kind of grazing and walking through. And it's a homeless. He's not going on a flight. He's not doing anything. Just like, keep walking. We're looking for Al-Qaeda or whatever we're doing at the airport, you know?
Yeah.
But it's an interesting mindset. Like, if you guys got to that point where you're just sort of walking around boxes and people living in, it's sort of like, those are just some species that came over on a container ship a long time ago. We let them procreate. Now it's a little out of hand. But generally, they won't mess with you, but don't leave your wallet out.
Yes.
I can't stop thinking about the caller called in. Oh, no, is it who the F sells this? It was 2 weeks ago, and he's like, they're part of our community. And it's like, well, they're homeless people, part of the community. I'm like, well, the idea of a community is everyone pitches in, and we're a community where, you know, we gain something from everyone being involved. I don't know how much homeless people are part of the community per se.
Yeah, no, I agree. We've expanded this community thing. They're fucking living there rent-free and doing drugs and not paying taxes. And by the way, okay, So according to your logic, what if we all join the community and we stop paying taxes or taking out the garbage?
Oh, no, or
doing any of the civic-minded things that people in the community do?
I mean, what if we just commune? Everyone contributes to the garden or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, the community.
Back at UCSB in Isla Vista, we had a guy, who played air guitar in front on a broom in front of the SOS liquor store, and he was a part of the community.
Right.
But he didn't offer anything to the community.
Right. Yeah, I know. We've expanded this community into covering just about everything. All right. Let me hit, Humble CBD. Based out of Southern California, Humble makes insanely great hemp-derived CBD products for any occasion. Humble's committed to helping you stay grounded no matter what life brings you. Their line of CBD products is geared to help you focus, relax, and recover more. Only for my listeners, Humble is offering 25% off your first order. Just use the promo code Adam and save on your entire order site-wide. So head to www.humblecbd.com. Choose from any of their products, and whatever you need, they got it. Remember, just for my listeners, Humble's offering 25% off of your first order. So head to humblecbd.com. Stay grounded with Humble CBD. All right. Got a couple other things to tap into. We got TiVo game. We got a couple of calls up there, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know. It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, it's John, Diego County. Got some songs that couldn't possibly be made today. They're three Oingo Boingo songs from Only a Lad. Only a Lad, Capitalism, and, of course, I Love Little Girls. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Could have just said, I love girls.
Yeah.
But this has to put the word little.
It's pretty damning.
I love pretty girls would have fit with the, you know, the rhyming structure.
Mm-hmm. Oingo Boingo was quite revolutionary when they came out in the very early 80s. But they're also one of these bands like X and some of these other bands that didn't really make it over to the East Coast or the Midwest. They were just sort of L.A. stuff. Just the same way Meatloaf never really made
it. Didn't make it here.
So everyone here was listening to Oingo Boingo and X versus Meatloaf. And everyone on the East Coast was listening to Meatloaf. This was considered weird music.
It is.
It is weird.
There's a tough synth line in there.
Danny Elfman has like quietly had a crazy career, but just
not,
sort of
not so quietly. He did the Simpsons theme. He's got a fucking billionaire off that.
No, I mean, that's what I mean, though, quietly, in that you don't see him having concerts and doing interviews and stuff. He does his shit, gets paid, and seems to keep a low pro.
He's probably been nominated for, at this point, I'm going to say 6 Oscars for best score, best soundtrack, whatever. He scores movies, and he's great at it.
No, he is. It's just for a guy who is the front man of a weirdo band. And they, by the way,
Trent Reznor now, by the
way. That is.
Right.
That's his career path.
Yep.
They were called the Royal Order of the Oingo Boingo or something many, many years ago, I think, before they became the Royal Order of the Oingo Boingo or something like that, before they just changed it to Oingo Boingo. But for a guy who was considered the eccentric front man, which he was. I mean, he was not an introvert. He wasn't even a kind of Jim Morrison where he sort of turned his back to the audience. He was like red hair, tank top, jumping all over the stage, like out front dude.
Right.
For that guy to just go to some place where I don't see him like in concerts. I don't see him in interviews. I don't see him showing up on late night shows or part of it is I don't watch every late night show, but you do kind of get a sense of who's out there and who isn't out there.
Four Oscar nominations for Danny Elfman, a very diverse group of movies. Of course, he does all Tim Burton's movies famously. Only nominated for Big Fish for a Tim Burton movie, Men in Black, Good Will Hunting, and Milk.
Wow,
that's
scored
range.
All those movies.
Range.
What do you think Oingo Boingo thought in the day of Devo?
Oh.
Bitch stole my look.
Yeah, they probably hated them like Drew hates all other doctors and I hate Ty Pennington. Like, come on, poser. Give me a break.
It's the enemy that keeps you on your game.
Right.
Yeah.
We make each other better.
Why all the hating?
Were they the Royal Order of the Oingo Boingo at some point?
They must have looked that up.
They must
the Mystic Knights.
The Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo?
Yeah,
I felt like it was some King Arthur-y thing.
Wow.
The Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo must have started. So I knew a woman who was a family who was very friendly with them and those guys. Way back in the day, it was the woman Judy who told me to go to the Groundlings.
Oh.
Because if I'd ask Ray's mom what I should do, she'd be like, you go pound sand. Yeah.
You know, like, pick up shovel.
My friends, their parents like had transmission repair shops. Right. Ray's mom worked as a cocktail waitress. Right. Everyone I knew was super, knew a guy's dad made signs out of plexiglass. You know, it's like I knew these super like blue collary, tradesy, real workaday people. And even when I was like 19, I was like, there's not a creative bone in their collective body. So, but I had a friend named Danielle and her mom was Jewish and creative. And her dad was like creative too. Her dad did like the orchestra for the Oscars and stuff like that. There was a music guy. They're like this,
not today, Danny Elfman.
They were like the creative family. Nice. So I was like, I got to go talk to the creative family because again, everyone else I know here doesn't know shit about. You know, they're like, get your GED and get to work. You know what I mean? That was all their world. Right. Their world's like you got to work. But these people were like creative and had a much bigger house up on the hill than any of the working people had.
It was, you know what I mean?
So I was like, I think you guys know something.
Yeah,
so
they were in Heber Heights.
I remember going up there and saying to Judy, like, oh, what should I do? Where should I go? And go to a place called the Groundlings. And off I went. But I do remember having conversations with her about Oingo Boingo way, late 70s. I don't know. Oh, they must have formed out here. There must be a SoCal band, and they must have done it.
Well, we can always ask Jenna and Bodie Elfman.
Oh, right.
Remember, because Bodie, I believe that's his uncle.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, what are some Oingo Boingo songs? I'm going to tell you. I will tell you a very good Oingo Boingo song, and if I have to hear fucking Dead Man's Party ever again, I will defenestrate myself. Is that
good,
right?
Good, yeah. Look out the window.
Don't go to Knott's Berry Farm around Halloween, then.
Yeah. Weird Science, I don't need to hear anymore. Mm-hmm. Only Lad is fine. They have a nice song.
Okay.
They have like a kind of a love
a pleasant
song.
Pleasant sounding song?
Yes.
We Close Our Eyes?
Well, Just Another Day is pretty good. You guys remember that one?
I got Flannery K-Rock a lot.
You'll know that one. Close Our Eyes is good. On the Outside's okay, Not My Slave, Wild Sex, Private Life is okay, Violent Love.
We're getting into some deeper cuts.
Yes. Nothing ever happens. What?
But like, this is clearly Oingo Boingo.
This is actually very, yes it is.
This is a pretty Duran-ish. Cool song. Sounds like The Cure almost.
Got a little Duran Duran in it.
Yeah.
Got a little Rio in it, right? Gotta give me that song list again, Max Zapata. Let's see. Maybe it's We Close Our Eyes. That's a good song. Did you guys say you know that one?
No.
I can't say I do.
Oh,
K-Rock played 4 or 5 of their songs in my era.
We Close Our Eyes and very melodic, and it's nice, and it's not even weird.
Especially some wedding songs, right?
Yeah, seriously. I like this.
I like this too.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's sort of sweet. Know this song?
No.
No, but it sounds...
Hey, Chris, hold on.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah, Adam?
We're enjoying this.
I know.
Yeah. Actually, everyone's nodding their head.
I bet the audience
I think
is
it's
well.
The original Chris started playing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll look into it.
Give me that list again, sir. It's nice.
The second one I just put up? Or the
first second one's good.
Not obviously 80s either. This could have been like a 90s song.
Yeah.
What's funny is if you notice there, Dead Man's Party did not chart initially, mm-hmm. and they re-recorded it and released it on a best of, and that's the best version of the notes.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe this is the song I'm thinking of. It's nice.
I like this song.
Yeah, I like this.
Will you do the white man's overbite dance if I play this at the reception?
Yes.
Okay. Done.
All right. Well, there's your Oingo Boingo.
I like that.
Daily Boingo.
See, we got... someone's got a question about a movie. Wants to know if we've seen it or not. Marco, 47 Albany.
Hola. How are you guys today?
Good. What's going on, man?
I love your talk about the pop culture from the 80s. I recently watched a movie from 1984 called Streets of Fire. I'm wondering if you'd seen it. It's on Netflix. I thought it was great.
Is that a...
Diane Lane, Willem Dafoe.
Oh, no. I don't think I've seen this.
Walter Hill's follow-up to 48 Hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Should we watch it?
I've not seen it.
I would recommend it. If you like the 80s... I think you'll like it. It's a musical. It's a Western. It's got bikers. It takes place in the 50s and the 80s simultaneously. It's insane.
It calls itself a rock and roll fable.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the tip, Marco.
I'm not familiar with the, sorry to interrupt, not familiar with the movie, but I was looking at the soundtrack on Wikipedia. Features one of the great Tool tunes of all time.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is in it. Who is this? Heart of mine.
Dan Hartman.
Dan Hartman.
I toolboxed this a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Died of AIDS.
Oh. He did?
He wrote Living in America.
Oh.
The James Brown single. And he has a big hit from Dirty Dancing?
Excuse
Sounds
me?
Like it.
Oh, yeah, he does, for sure.
I will tell you guys, a movie that no one has ever seen, starring Kevin Bacon, that is the 80s of all the 80s movies. Like, if you want the music, the look, the attitude, the vibe, the entire thing, Quicksilver.
Yes.
Kevin Bacon plays a... He plays a bike messenger guy who, you know, was a successful Wall Street guy. I love the premise. He's this wildly successful Wall Street guy. His dad, his poor, hardworking dad, gives him his entire nest egg and goes, son, I trust you. Invest it wisely. He squanders the whole thing, realizes he can never look his dad in the eye again, and gets out of that world into probably the bluest collar job there is, which is riding a 10-speed with manila envelopes in it through Manhattan.
Is it Gregory Hines who co-stars in that?
As his father?
Another black simile.
No. I don't know. You're gonna have to look it up. But speeding toward the final and deadly showdown. Oh, there was nothing.
Who could get someone sandwiched the fastest?
Yeah, it was.
I was wrong about Dirty Dancing. Dan Harmon had a song on Fletch's soundtrack.
Oh God!
Get Out of Town. Also wrote the song Free Ride.
Free Ride.
Come Grand on, take
Edgar
a free
Winter.
Ride.
Wow.
Dan Harmon was a prolific artist. Back wow.
He shall be missed.
Cut down too early.
Laura, 41, Dallas. You got some rich man, poor man for us.
Hi guys.
Hi guy.
I do. All right. So my first one is having a P.O. box as your address.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah. P.O. box is your address.
I feel like a lot of business. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got to name one poor person who has a P.O. box. No, you have to name one poor person who has a P.O. box.
I think the idea is to have it instead of a permanent address, though. Letting out of the car, getting their mail at a P.O. box.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Keep going.
You have to be, if you're homeless. And then you're really rich.
But homeless people don't have the P.O. box.
They don't really get
mail. You don't want them looking up your house.
All right. Keep going, Laura.
All right. Next one is secret second family.
Secret what?
Second family.
Secret second family. Interesting.
A secret second family.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think we've gotten into that before, but I can't. But good. Good. Secret second family.
Does the second family know they're the second family?
I think they think they're the first family that's being ignored. What's that?
Sorry, Laura.
Really long vacation.
Yeah. That's pretty good because poor guys, like when Chris was poor, he'd get on the gay bus and just be gone for 7 weeks. You know, I know guys that have like driven across the country and camped and stuff. It's just all super poor. 100%. And then there's Dr. Drew.
Who's still gone.
I talked to that guy a week ago. It's like, I'm in Greece.
Yeah.
I'm still in Greece. I'm like, well, when are you coming home?
I just stay an extra 10 days.
For a long time. He's like, well, I'm coming home, but I'm coming to New York and then we're going to stay there. Like,
Laura, that's the one to
beat. That's your best one, yeah.
I can't tell you the last time I took a vacation over 4 days. That's good.
Well, if you're clocking into a job, clocking in, clocking out, you're working 40 hours a week, whatever, for your benefits, you can't take, I'm just going to stay on vacation after a couple days.
You can't. No, you haven't
you're
earned
not.
It.
You have to get back to work.
Well, also, you don't have the money for 2 weeks in Maui.
That's also true.
That way as well. All right, Laura, let's go out on top.
All right, let's see. Well, I hope you guys I don't know if you've done this one before, but court.
Don't do
like
it.
Lawsuits.
Yeah, the court.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah, that.
Always being sued.
It's always in rotation.
Let's see here. Multiple half siblings.
Yeah, okay. That's good. That's good.
And that's all I got.
All right.
we'll cut those last two, Laura, and make
good.
It
yes.
a hero.
We like the vacation one.
That's a good one.
Let's see. Someone's got some septic tank.
Oh, boy.
Issues.
Oh, sorry. Before we do that, can I tell you I augered my drain the other night myself? I have an auger, and I did it and unclogged that bitch in 8 minutes and had to fiddle with things under my sink. I fiddled and I took out the drain stopper and I augered and I put everything back where I found it.
It's all your hair.
Yes. How did you know?
Because women fucking shed, and long-haired women just shed and shed and shed, and it all just goes down the drain and then clogs the drain. You need, in your shower, I don't know if they have them for sinks, but for the shower, they have those little sieve colander things,
collector.
Like a disc you could put over the drain.
That's a good idea.
So it doesn't make it all the way down, you know what I mean, or into it. So I was thinking about something one time. So anyway, women shed and it's all women related. It could be a tampon. It could be a maxi pad.
Yes. Down
but it's a lot
bathroom sink.
A lot of hair. A lot of hair shedding. It's all on the women's side of the aisle. Yeah. One time I remember I got the auger out too. I haven't told the story in a long time, but I haven't thought about it in a million years, but my beloved friend, Philip the Juggler, loved Philip the Juggler. Philip the Juggler had a big mastiff, like a giant dog. I think the dog's name was Mocha. And he was going out of town to do some shows in Reno or something like that. And he said, can you watch Mocha? And I said, yeah, I love that dog. Just a big dog. I dropped it off. I was living in a rented house. Here's how bad my room was. The door to my room was one of those plastic accordion doors.
Oh, my God.
Not even a pocket door.
Brutal.
No, you know, by the way, it's a bad sign.
It makes that flop, 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 flop sound every time you open it?
You could...
Oh, my God.
You lived in a closet.
How romantic.
You could lock it, technically, but if someone just fell asleep and leaned against it, it would fall over.
And you think that was going to be match for a Mastiff?
The room was miniature.
It had
the plastic accordion door. A bad sign when your house is so small that it can't accommodate hinges. hinges. No, that's a bridge too far.
Right.
Because if you open the door out, it would block off the hallway.
You can't open the stove.
If you opened it in, it would hit the wall behind it. And the room was so small. And it was this tiny little room. And I built myself a loft. I would build everyone lofts. I had to have a loft because otherwise you couldn't put a desk
in
the room.
It's a cell, prison cell.
You had a choice. You could have a loft and a desk, or you could have a bed and no desk because the room was too small. But Mocha, so I took Mocha.
And why didn't you stay at Philip's house?
I should have, and I probably have before, but he dropped off Mocha and Mocha stayed with me. Now, at some point during Mocha's stay, the one bathroom that was across from the accordion door, the toilet was clogged up. And it was clogged. So I know what I know. So I went and I got like an auger. And I started, putting it down and working it and putting it down and working. I couldn't see anything. Everything looked fine. Everything, nothing, nothing. Just kept pushing, nothing, nothing. So I took the toilet off because I said, if it ain't in the toilet, maybe it's in the pipe underneath the toilet. And again, I was poor. I was a carpenter. I wasn't going to call a plumber. I should have called the landlord, but we've never called the landlord because there was like an extra roommate and a pot plant in the backyard.
You didn't want to remind him that you live there.
We don't need the man snooping around here. Yeah. No one said anyone could live in the fucking garage with the extension cord powering it in the back. So, and John, my buddy, threw his boot through the window and blew out a big slider. And we had a big piece of plywood there because Ray cranked up the Who too loud and he was taking a nap. Oh, by the way, if you're taking a nap at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, you're not allowed to wake up outraged.
Who's
running a weed whacker? The guy who does his job.
Every day at 3:00.
Because it's the middle of the day. You have decided to take a nap.
What's these trash trucks?
Yeah, you cannot be. You can't be.
I hear kids at the playground?
You can't be incensed when the world is making noise. What's up with these birds and all the chirping? Like, you fell asleep. Your prerogative.
It's on you.
But it's on you. Anyway, he woke up. There was boot through the fucking plate glass window that I was standing.
That'll show everybody else.
Anyway, we had to ply. You couldn't call the man. We would never call. So then I removed the toilet. Two screws.
Like the whole throne.
Pulled the whole throne off.
Okay.
Dropped the auger down past that. Like thinking, all right, something's down there, whatever. But nothing. Then I got up on the fucking roof. And I was like, there's an air vent.
Okay.
There's a vent. You look at a roof, look at a house, you'll see the vents coming up. I was like, you go up there and you go up there with the hose. You drop the hose.
Where do you think poop goes?
You blow it out.
To heaven.
You got to blow out the air vent. By the way, and I've done this before too, you want to know where the leak is coming from or whatever thing? Drop a smoke bomb down the air vent. And covered up, and you'll see if the smoke is coming in through the bathroom, like through the wall, like it's in the wall.
MacGyver.
They have smoke bombs for that. I've done it recently. But anyway, so now I'm up on the roof, and I'm running the hose down the vent, and the entire Saturday is fucking shot at this point. And I go, nothing is clearing. I put the toilet back on. It's not working, not flushing. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I've done everything. And eventually I start ramming the auger down the toilet again. And then at some point I take the toilet off and now I turn the toilet over to see if there's something. Mocha had a solid rubber ball, not a tennis ball, wedged. But solid rubber. And it's a little undersized, a little smaller than a tennis ball. Mm, like and it was solid rubber.
Yeah.
And he went to go drink out of the toilet
and dropped it.
The ball was small enough to get in, turn the corner, and then just get lodged. Yeah. And as
almost
I was,
like it was intended to
yes,
plug it up.
And I as I there should be a class action lawsuit. As I was ramming it with this auger, I was just wedging it deeper
better.
And deeper. Yeah. And now it was just cemented in there, but you pull it off, you couldn't see anything, yeah. You get up on the fucking whole day shot because the stupid dog dropped its ball in my toilet. All right. Dan Dunn is here. We'll put TiVo off till next week because Dan Dunn's here and he's going to cheer us up.
I think we all need a cocktail after that.
He's brought libations. Mixers. Let me see what my business is here. Oh, let me hit stamps.com. Oh, why you're all still going to the post office and paying full price for postage? Stamps.com. You can mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. We've used it here for over 11 years. Merch, books, paperwork. Whether you're a small business sending invoices, an Etsy shop, shipping orders, or just navigating hybrid work life now, home and at the office, Stamps.com, they can handle it. Over 1 million businesses choose Stamps.com. Print U.S. postage from any letter or package, any class of mail, 24/7 at home, plus 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. No risk offer, 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Adam. That's stamps.com and Adam. Dan Dunn, one of our favorites, is coming in here. He's bringing booze. We'll talk to him right after this.